Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. Well, with the Lord's help, we've been ministering on a subject entitled Biblical Prosperity. And we have to understand what God's Word requires of us, expects of us as His people in relation to this very important subject. As I mentioned and I began sharing on this, these principles, that the subject of finances is mentioned more in the Bible than even heaven or hell or salvation or prayer. And something like over 5,280 verses, some Bible scholars estimate. So that's a lot of time and emphasis placed on this subject. So it's important we understand how God looks at the subject of finances. Now, before the fall, Adam was a perfect man, and he was designed to operate from his spirit that God had given him, which was made in the very image of God. And from his spirit, he was to direct his mind, his emotions and will, or the soul, if you will. Those are part of the soul, the emotions and the will. And those in turn would direct physical desires. Basically, his spirit man ruled. But you know, as a result of the fall, it was reversed. 90% of daily activities are focused on taking care of the body, work, food, clothing, shelter. And of course, there's a restoration that occurs in Christ. We still, while we're in this world system, have to work. We have to still all do those natural things. But there is a blessing, and there's a prosperity, and there's an understanding that along with that last enemy to be put underfoot, death, when we're reunited with Christ, He will restore and renew all things. And praise God, we're not going to need finances in the millennium. There will be no lack, there will be no poverty, there will be no sickness, there will be no disease. But God will restore things as they were in the beginning. But many Christians operate in this financial realm according to the world system instead of God's principles. The world system is grab, get, keep all you can. Whereas in the kingdom, it's give, give, and give. First of all, give yourself totally to God. First and foremost, love Him above all things. And then give, enter in the realm of your finances, sow that as seed, because you can't a farmer can't expect a harvest unless seed of some form is planted. And so our literal finances serve as seed to bless us in a financial way. And then we're to give our life, our talents, and time to serve others for God's glory, for the advance of God's kingdom. We're to be a good steward over what He has given us. Now, if you recall, we have an example in the 26th chapter of Genesis, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 and 2. And there was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. And let me read verse 3. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And it basically says that in verse 12, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And verse 13, the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. Well, now this was in a time of famine. And so, beloved, Here's a scriptural precedence for us, regardless of how bad things might be economically in terms of the world system, our present time in which we live. God is able to help you to prosper, to make you prosper, if you will simply obey Him. Now, the Lord told Isaac very clearly, don't go down into Egypt. There might be food there, but you stay where I put you, and you will see me bless you. And of course, that's exactly what he experienced. And also, beloved, we have to understand, if we want the blessings of God, we must be willing to sow like Isaac. He sowed and reaped 100-fold. Also, we need to distinguish between our source and a channel. Now, what's a source of income? Beloved, that's obvious. Things like our job, the property we may own, interest, stocks, bonds, any form of investments. That's perhaps the, I guess you could look at something like a job or even investments. That's a channel in which you receive prosperity or blessings, but the source of income becomes God, not the channel. Before Abraham could possess great wealth, he had to have a revelation of God as El Elyon, the Most High God. That is referenced in Genesis, the 14th chapter, verse 19, who describes the Creator God, El Elyon, as the possessor of heaven and earth. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All that this is in this world, the fullness thereof, belongs to God who created it. Not only the natural material world, all the animals, but every single human life depends on breath from Almighty God. And Jesus goes on in the Gospel of Luke, the 16th chapter, verse 9. He tells us to make friends with our finances. Listen to his words. Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. He's talking about finances. That when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Well, another translation that perhaps amplifies what he was saying would go this way. My counsel is, win friends for yourself by the right use of your finances. Your worldly wealth of this dishonest world with money that is often used in wrong ways, so that when it comes to an end, so that when finances are a thing of the past, your friends may welcome you to the tents that never perish, into an eternal home. So the chief end of attracting or acquiring finances is simply to harness it to be able to win the lost and to give to those in need, to allow God's love and faithfulness and loving kindness to be made known to the sons of men. Now, let's look at biblical prosperity. And there are some that say televangelists have really abused this concept. There's a plethora of books denouncing the prosperity message. And there's certainly enough negative examples from presumptuous saints to greedy preachers. Again, beloved, it's a matter of the heart. It's a heart issue. A prosperity is God's idea, not the devil's. So is God a communist or a capitalist? Someone once said that capitalism is the division of wealth and communism is the a division of poverty or lack. And when you really look at America, and I know there are many today that just have nothing but evil to say about this nation, that it's an imperialist, ungodly, greedy nation, and we've acquired our wealth by the conquest mentality or concept. Well, we are one, if not the primary country in the world that has acquired wealth through the capitalist system, through the wealth that has been generated by individual enterprise. We saw that as pioneers began to establish this nation, pushing westward. Were there abuses? Were there injustices? Of course. And yet, when you look at every nation of the world, they acquired wealth by the conquest concept. In other words, you lose, I win. They take lands and money and wealth. And so this concept, acquiring wealth by enterprise, free enterprise, that is now being duplicated in nations of the world. China and India, for example, right today, there are literally multiplied thousands that have been brought out of poverty simply because of this free enterprise system. And so, beloved, God is not against people prospering. He wants his people to prosper. When those were suffering on this earth, he ministered to them. He gave those who were hungry, he fed miraculously with fishes and loaves. Those who were sick, he healed. And beloved, we need to be able to just reach our hands out in the love of God and bring that kind of a relief and manifestation of God's love in a tangible way. People will understand something tangible. Well, now, let's now look, we're going to take a little bit of time to be technical, looking at that actual Hebrew word prosper. And in the Latin, it means to prosper is to cause to succeed. Now, as there are various Hebrew words used for this word prosper, the first one I'd like to share with you is, I don't know how to pronounce it properly, but it's salach, T-S-A-L-A-A-C-H, as used in the Psalm, the first Psalm, verse 3, to succeed as God did in his program of redemption. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and whatsoever doeth shall prosper, is succeed. As in Isaiah 53:10, the word says, yet it hath pleased the Lord to bruise him, referring to Jesus. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper or succeed in his hand. It can also be translated promote, such as in Daniel, the 3rd chapter, verse 30, where the king promoted, if you will, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, my time has flown, and we're going to be looking, starting on tomorrow's broadcast, of some other words that are used in the word to describe or to delineate what it means to prosper. But for now, I bring this broadcast to a close. I thank you for joining me. I invite you to tune in tomorrow as we continue sharing. And until then, I love you. God bless you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,